All women, including preborn baby girls, are created in the image of God. Discover the true war on women. www.godloveswomen.com. That is www.godloveswomen.com.
Oh, Sovereign Lord, Lord, we raise our cry to you and pray that you would answer us. Please, O Lord, hear our salvation cry as we call out for your grace and salvation. Please hear the cry of your children, your churches all around the world, as we beg you to send the Lord Jesus soon and bring our redemption out of such a dangerous and wicked world and into the glorious kingdom that you have prepared for us in your grace. Oh Lord, we rise up early. We wake up early to cry to you in prayer. Let our cry come before you early in the morning and please hear us. For God, there are those who are our persecutors who draw near. They are far from you, but they draw near to persecute your saints. But you are near, O Lord. You, O God, are near to us. And we trust in the nearness of your presence and your power to protect your saints from all of the schemes and attacks of the evil one. Please be near to us. Please keep us near to you. And give us boldness to bear witness to the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. This morning, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 20. And we'll begin only with the first two verses. This is the word of the Lord. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. God teaches. God evangelizes. He proclaims glad tidings to sinners. He is not a silent God, but a teaching God and an evangelizing God. For those who have ears to hear, the God of the gospel is continually proclaiming the gospel of his divine glory to all who would turn from their evil ways and believe upon his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He preaches the gospel that they can be saved from the wrath to come and find mercy and grace in Christ's glorious work of redemption, the forgiveness of sins by His own blood. When God preaches, He necessarily preaches the gospel of His own glory. When He evangelizes, He necessarily evangelizes the glad tidings of Himself coming down to the world to save sinners. For the gospel at its center is the announcement of the doctrine of God, of who He is, and how He comes to the world, both to save it in mercy and to judge it in wrath. Here's the gospel in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, that is, you who preach the gospel, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Again, you who preach the gospel. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, and here's the gospel. Behold, your God. God Himself is the good tidings of the gospel. His coming into the world to save the world through Himself is the gospel. And He Himself teaches this gospel to the nations. He evangelizes all peoples with the glad tidings of His own coming. Isaiah 35, verse 4, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come. With vengeance, with the recompense of God, He will come and save you. And Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, that is, who preaches the gospel, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings, again, who preaches the gospel, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. God teaches His people. He evangelizes His elect. And here in Luke's gospel, we see Jesus teaching in the temple. Here we have Jesus evangelizing in the temple courts. For Jesus is God, the very Son of God, in the temple. And yet the Pharisees, who know not the true God, the God who teaches and the God who evangelizes His own truth, will not receive the teaching and the evangelism of Jesus in the temple. And this is just as it happened even earlier in Christ's earthly ministry in John chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. O dear Christian, do you desire to be taught of God? Do you long to be taught the doctrines of the gospel under the instruction of the Lord Himself? Are you eager to learn of God? Do you hunger for the Christian evangel, the evangelistic proclamation of Scripture, to lead you into the knowledge of the depths of the nature and character of God? If so, beloved Christian, then you must count yourself dead to the world and alive only to Christ. For the Spirit of the Lord will not instruct anyone in the Holy Scriptures whose desires and affections are still found clinging to the world. Instead, it is only those whose will and love are dead to the world, even mortified through many trials and tribulations, and thus awakened only to the glory of God, whom Christ shall teach the wondrous mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and shall instruct in the glad tidings of His holy nature. and His miraculous works. However, the priests of the temple, along with the scribes and the elders, are those who claim the authority. They claim the authority of being the sole teachers of the temple. And therefore, as Jesus teaches in the temple a gospel that is contrary to what they themselves teach, they are filled with envy and hatred towards Him. Their authority is threatened. And so they challenge in public the authority of Jesus, the authority of His teaching. So again, Luke 21 through 2, now it happened on one of those days as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted Him and spoke to Him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is He who gave you this authority?" When the priests and the scribes and the elders ask Jesus, "Who is He who gave you this authority?" they have in mind only the authority of men. By their question, they are saying, "We are the authority in this temple. Therefore, which one of us, or what man of governmental authority, authorized you to teach in this manner?" So again, they have in mind only the systems of men and the traditions of men. Isaiah 29:13, "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men." And Mark 7:5-6, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders?'" The tradition of the elders. "But eat bread with unwashed hands." He answered and said to them, and here's part of the answer in verse 8, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. The authority of the priests, the scribes, and the elders is not the infallible Word of God. Rather, it is the tradition of the elders, which is the tradition of men. And since Jesus is breaking that ungodly tradition by His teaching, they question its authority by upholding their own authority. And yet, true godliness always places the authority of God above the authority of mere men. Acts 4:18-19. "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge.'" So, you judge this question of authority. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Since the authority of God must be higher than the authority of men, it follows that the Word of God must always be treated with an infinitely higher honor than the mere word of men. And yet the battle over authority in the church, as it was also in ancient Israel, is always a battle over the doctrine of God. Because, of course, both sides claim to have God on their side. Yet one of them, the man-fearing side, has the wrong doctrine of God. And so when the priests and the scribes ask Jesus, "Or who is he who gave you this authority?" they certainly will not accept his answer if he says, "God is he who gave me this authority." And they won't accept that answer because they have a contrary view of God to that of the teachings of the Lord Jesus. So it's a battle over the doctrine of God. The battle of authority then is over the doctrine of God. And this is why both Hananiah, the false prophet, and Jeremiah, the true prophet of God, spoke in the temple courts by saying, both of them said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." Hananiah claimed to be God's representative, since such a claim gave great authority to his words. Jeremiah also claimed to be God's prophet, which claim carried all of the authority of the word of God behind it. But one of them, Hananiah, had a false authority because Hananiah's God, his God of Israel, was a false God of Israel, while only Jeremiah's God of Israel was the true God of Israel. And this is why Hananiah and Jeremiah prophesied contrary prophecies, and why Hananiah despised Jeremiah's true authority as a true prophet of God. It was a battle over the very nature of the God whom they both claimed to represent. In like manner, both Jesus and his enemies claim to be representatives of the God of Israel. Yet one of them has the truth regarding the doctrine of God, and so only one of them understands the authority of the Son of Man rightly. Because, of course, Jesus himself claims to be the Son of Man, and so to possess the divine authority of the Son of Man. But his enemies reject him and instead seek to crucify him in order to utterly scorn his authority. Here is the authority of the Son of Man in the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given authority and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His authority is an everlasting authority which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." Jesus is the Son of Man, and so possesses this everlasting authority in himself. And so the crowds are astonished at his teaching, because his word comes to them, as it says in Luke 4:32, quote, "with authority," end quote. Yet the enemies of Jesus despise and reject his authority. Mark 2:6-11. "And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Who then has true authority? The chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders claim to have the authority of the temple of God of Israel supporting them. But theirs is actually the authority of darkness, because they serve their father, the devil. In the near future, Pilate, the Roman governor, also will claim to have authority over Jesus, even the authority to crucify him, or else the authority to release him. But Jesus will reply to Pilate, and he will say to him in John 19:11, "You could have no authority at all over me unless it had been given you from above." It is only Jesus, then, who has ultimate authority, because he is the Son of Man, and so he is the Lord of the temple. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And John 5:26-27, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And again, Colossians 2:9-10, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and authority." Whence then does Christ derive his authority? Is it from earth? Is it not rather from heaven? "For has not the authority of Christ cast out the great dragon," who is that serpent of old, "from the courts of heaven? Has not the one called the devil or Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren and who accused them before our God day and night, has he not been cast out of heaven? For have not the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ come to us now that he has risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father?" O beloved church, do not be unaware of the spiritual battle that is occurring every time that you set foot in public spaces. For all is not merely academics and news and politics and statistics, as the media claims. Rather, there are, as revealed in the visions of the prophet Daniel, real demonic realms behind the authorities of the nations and the institutions of godless men. Therefore, do not blindly accept the authority of the word of men. Do not hear phrases such as, "the best scientific journals say," or "that man at Harvard University says," or "the economic reality says," or "all conservatives or all liberals say," or "the vast majority of Americans say," and think that you are forced to submit to that seemingly unquestioned authority behind them. Instead, remember that the twisted moral authority of the kingdom of Babylon is always opposed to the holy and righteous authority of the kingdom of Christ. And so then, dear church, in times of conflict and persecution, always speak from the sole authority of the Word of God. Always appeal to the authority of the Word of Christ. For the authority of the kingdom of man comes by way of demons, But the authority of the kingdom of heaven comes by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, even Him before whom the most fearsome of God's holy angels fall down upon their faces in trembling and adoration and praise. How then does Jesus answer this great challenge to His authority? He answers His enemies by pointing them to the authority given to Him from heaven, which was borne witness to by John the Baptist. And so He points to the authority of John the Baptist, who himself testified to the heavenly authority of the Lord Jesus. This is how Jesus answers His enemies. Luke 23:7. But He answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" You see, that's a question of authority. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, He will say, 'Why then did you not believe Him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it was from. John the Baptist was a man of tremendous authority given to him by God, for John was the one who fulfilled, at least in part, the great Elijah prophecy uttered by the prophet Malachi. That great prophecy which says in Malachi 4:4-6, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." John then was not only the greatest of the prophets, but even more than a prophet, since he was sent as the very forerunner of Christ, sent to prepare the way before Christ. Luke 7:26, "But what did you go out to see, a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet." Why then do the priests, scribes, and the elders of the temple refuse to recognize the authority of John the Baptist as he bore witness to the greater authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? And why does Jesus appeal to John the Baptist in answering his enemies? John the Baptist, as the greatest of men born of women, had a life and message that divided between peoples. He was so holy and so truthful and thus so God-centered that he exposed the real hearts and motives of men. The life of John then necessarily divides between those who fear God and those who do not. John's witness, even after his martyrdom, exposes the hypocrisy of those who claim to worship God but who simultaneously hate the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:7-9, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, John said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.'" In other words, do not trust in that false authority. "For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." John bore witness to the authority of Jesus. Yet the people of Israel understood rightly that John was a great prophet. And therefore John's witness exposes the hypocrisy of the priests, scribes, and the elders who seek to kill Jesus. John 1:15, "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, since he was before me. And John 1, 24 through 26. Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize?" So see here now, here they are again, questioning John's authority to baptize because it goes against their traditions of men. "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know." True godliness divides between men. It exposes hypocrisy in men. Therefore, the witness of John divides between those who worship the Lord Jesus and those who hate his teaching and his preaching. And in timeless terms, to say this in timeless terms that are in harmony with the life of John, the gospel of Jesus Christ always divides between men. It makes men either for Christ or else against Christ because there is no neutral ground. Luke 12, 51 through 53, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." This is always how it is with Christians. Since we bear witness to the authority of Jesus Christ over and far above the authorities of mere men, our lives necessarily bring division between those who fear and worship Christ and those who refuse to do so. Acts 17, 5 through 6, "But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These men, these who have turned the world upside down.'" Which means the witness of Christians always challenges this seemingly unchallenged authority of the kingdom of men. So it turns it upside down. "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. O Christian brethren, do not be surprised when the world hates you. Do not be surprised at all when you are not allowed to live a comfortable life, but rather are persecuted and falsely accused in every direction that you go. For your life and doctrine bear witness to the uncompromising authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so merely by your life and witness, you condemn the false authority of the kingdom of Satan. It's no wonder at all then that men hate you for this. It should be no surprise that they hate you. They claim to be their own authority, and so to be under no obligation to fear the holy commandments of God, the God of Scripture. But you testify to them, both by word and by deed, that they are highly accountable to the authority of the gospel. And so they who reject the gospel and refuse to repent at its evangelistic proclamation hate your testimony, and so hate you for being that testimony. The priests and scribes, along with the elders, refused to answer Jesus' question about the authority of the preaching of John the Baptist. And therefore, having exposed their hypocrisy, Jesus refuses to answer their initial question about the source of his own authority. Luke 20:7-8, so they answered that they did not know where it was from. Of course, that's what the wicked do when their hypocrisy is exposed. We don't know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Precious brother or sister in the Lord, you need not answer the persecuting, interrogating questions of sinful men. They may pry with their inappropriate questions or seek to trap you with their crafty questions. But you have no obligation before God to answer them. You are accountable to God's eternal authority more than their temporal authority, and so their sinful questions need not be answered. Oh, dear brother or sister, fear God rather than men. For our Lord said to his enemies, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Yet Jesus' refusal to answer the question of his persecutors is also a judgment upon their heads. For had they sought the source of his authority with meek and God-fearing hearts, he would have revealed it to them. But since they ask questions of his authority out of rebellious and murderous hearts, the truth is hidden from them as a judgment upon them. Luke 19:41-42. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And that's a tremendous judgment. Who has true authority? Is Christ obligated to fear the authority of men? Or are men obligated to fear the authority of Christ? Job 38:1-4, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Is God in need of man? Or is man in need of God? Is God obligated to man? Or is man obligated to God? Who has authority? God has all authority. Jesus has no need to answer the false temple authorities because Jesus is Lord of the temple. And the Lord of the temple has no innate need for sinful man. God is self-sufficient. In his self-sufficiency, he has no need of his creation. Wholly independent of the universe, he needs nothing from man. Psalm 50:12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. And Acts 17:24-25, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. As though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Christ Jesus is obligated to no man. He is intimidated by no man. He fears not those who can crucify the body, but after that have no more that they can do. He answers not to the pretended authorities of men over God, since He is God, and God submits to no man. We are to be judged by the eternal Son of God, but the eternal Son of God shall be judged by no wicked mortal man, made as man is from the dust. The enemies of Christ challenge the authority of Christ, even seeking to threaten Him with their own worldly authority. Yet Christ our Lord shall not be intimidated by Satan himself, and so will not bow to the threats of His enemies. They question Him, but He gives them no answer. In the same manner, His enemies seek to judge Him, condemning Him by their wicked worldly authority. Yet it is Christ Jesus who in the end shall judge them. They mock His authority, even mocking Him during His brutal torment on the cross. Yet He shall laugh when their foot slips in due time and they plummet into the everlasting pit of everlasting burnings. They condemn Him by their earthly authority, which is temporal, but He shall condemn them by His heavenly authority, which is eternal. They who mocked Him with sneering and laughter shall spend eternity weeping and gnashing their teeth in torment in hell. They put Him in the prisoner's fetters and spit on His bleeding brow. But He shall put them in the fetters of everlasting chains and allow fire and brimstone to spray scorchingly against their brows in hell forever. They summon Him before the earthly throne of judgment by the authority of their temporal gods. But He shall summon them before the great white throne of heaven by the authority of the eternal Father who reigns in holiness forever. Revelation 20, 11 through 12. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Is not then our God to be feared? Is not the authority of His Christ to be feared? Man thinks himself to be Lord over this earth, but his usurping pride shall be answered by the wrath of Almighty God. The pride of Babylon puffs up Babylon to the skies, but Babylon shall be brought down by the authority of Christ Jesus and thrown like a millstone into the heart of the seas. God's holiness shall not be trodden upon by the wicked presumptions of sinful man. God Himself shall not be judged by the wicked judges of the city of man, and the authority of His Christ shall not be questioned and challenged by the hubris of the priests and scribes and elders of the temple of man. Instead, the gospel preached by God's holy angels is, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. What then is the hope, the blessed hope of every believer, if not that the kingdom and the authority of our Christ shall come down to reign over all the earth, even as it already reigns in heaven? Shall not His authority be bliss to us? Shall not the absolute rule of His holy law be heaven to us? For is not heaven the full manifestation of God to His glorified, perfected saints, such that we worship God without ceasing and obey God without wavering. Is not Christ's eternal authority majestic? And were we not made, created, to honor and fear and adore and magnify that authority with all joy and gladness? For when the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ comes down to earth in its fullness, then the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And thus we shall rejoice in the rule and reign and authority of our God, and even reign with Him, judging angels, ruling over the creatures, and bowing down in worship before our unspeakably glorious God forever and ever. Kingdom eternal, hope fulfilled, peace unbroken, world without end. Amen. So as we close and come to the table of the Lord this morning, we come lauding the authority of our Christ, even as His enemies once mocked that authority. They scorned and mocked that authority while He bled and died for our sins. Before we share in the table, here's the doxology. Praise be to God our Father, who has all rule and power and authority in His own being. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall rule the nations with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like pottery with all authority in heaven and on earth. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, who makes us aware of the unseen battle of authority that takes place around us in the heavenly realms, and who leads us constantly to Christ, who wins that battle for us by the authority of His perfect righteousness. Amen.